So last week we heard Jesus teaching about the tiniest of seeds, the mustard seed that grows into the biggest of bushes. And with this illustration, we were reminded that every small act of kindness and goodness matters in God's kingdom economy. Now, Jesus lives out this teaching today in word and deed with the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So, let's set the scene. The story opens with some really heavy news, terrible news. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, has been beheaded. Jesus seeks to go away and spend some time in solitude to grieve. The text tells us that Jesus went to a deserted place. But when he arrived at the place, he's met by this crowd of people who have beat him there on foot. They have traveled over land, desolate land of prickly plants and inhospitable shrubbery and sharp stones, because they are hungry for Jesus, to hear him speak, to feel his touch, to be in his presence. They are waiting patiently, eagerly for him. Oh, would we be so eager to be with Jesus, so hungry for his touch, so hungry for his word. Now Jesus, who longs for this quiet time, he's remarkably not annoyed or angry with the crowd. He sees these 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And despite his own weariness of spirit, Jesus sees the crowds. Now the word here for see is not just to see something. It goes deeper. It goes up, seeing from the inside. It means that Jesus really perceives what's going on with the crowds. Jesus is discerning their needs. He intuits what drove them to walk miles to this desolate place. And as a result, Jesus has compassion on them. And remember, we've talked about the compassion of Jesus before. It's a gutsy physical feeling that propels Jesus to care and to act and to have empathy. And his heart is overcome for the crowds with love. It's such a powerful moment that this is the only miracle story, the feeding of the 5,000, that each gospel contains. So, Jesus begins to heal the sick who have traveled so far. He restores the weak to strength and the broken to wholeness. We see Jesus is teaching them and being with them all afternoon. Imagine sitting there and having the blessing of hearing Jesus and being with him for hours. And the time flies by, and the crowd is fed by his words and comforted by his touch. Now evening approaches, and the disciples see the darkness is looming, and they are not perceiving like Jesus, or discerning the way Jesus does. All their hearts see is the problems, the darkness, the crowds, and they are afraid and agitated. They go to the Lord and say, "This is an isolated place. Send them away so they can get something to eat." They think they're doing Jesus a favor by bringing this problem to Jesus' attention. Surely Jesus has been just caught up in ministry and lost track of time. "It's getting dark, Jesus. You've done enough ministry for the day. Time to call it quits." But Jesus sees it differently. Jesus' first recorded words of this passage are, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus punts this seemingly impossible problem right back to the disciples' hands. Jesus doesn't go away, and he doesn't send them away. He has compassion. He shows how to love in the midst of difficulty, in the places when we are lonely and broken. We are surrounded by such need ourselves, sick, the sorrowing, the unemployed, those who are spiritually empty and needy. And we get overwhelmed and we want to close our eyes and say, "Just send it all away, make it go away." But Jesus does not let us off the hook when we have problems, even when we have problems of our own. So the passage tells us this, something very important, that the only way, one of the only ways that we can find healing for ourselves, the peace that we want for ourselves, is through service, is through helping others. We heal when we follow the God who perceives, who has compassion, who heals and focuses our attention on the needs of others, not by our own strength, but through the grace of God working through us. So Jesus continues with working with the disciples and says, asks them to bring what food they have, and they have 5 loaves and 2 fish, little fish like sardines, not very big fish, not enough to feed themselves, let alone have crumbs for the multitudes. But still, Jesus directs the crowd to sit down, and he takes the meal, he looks up to heaven, blesses it like we do in the Lord's Supper. And then he instructs the disciples to distribute the bread and the fish. In Jesus' hands, through God's blessing, there is enough for all, with 12 full baskets left over. And the word here talks about an abundance left over. The same word that Jesus uses when he declares in John, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is a God of abundance. So we look at our world today that is so overwhelming with need and hurt, and we are in the middle of a desolate time. We see the darkness descending, and we also, thank goodness, have a compassionate Lord who also sees. We just want him to go away. He doesn't just, though, see the problems. He perceives our problems, what's inside of us, all the problems. He sees our limited resources and the great need of all around us, the problems that won't go away, like 66% of Americans who find groceries increasingly unaffordable, like Trinity Goodman, 44, who sells her blood plasma so that she can have food to eat, enough money for food, like the millions of our neighbors who have lost food benefits and now have to choose between toilet paper and feeding their children. Children, by the way, who comprise the largest group of poor people in our country. People who haven't had a haircut in months and years because they simply can't afford it. They don't need to go away, Jesus tells us. We give them something to eat. Our gospel story reminds me of a 12-year-old boy from Texas who made it his mission to give back to his community. His name is Matthew Real, and he wanted to create a student-run backpack program where kids donate food to other kids in their school district. And he explained that the program is where kids, after school on Friday, get to bring home a backpack to their families that are in need and have food for the weekend. Matthew started his project of buying food and loading up blessing bags for the less fortunate in his community. He started that when he was 8 years old. He recalls, "We attended a church function and we made out blessing bags to hand out. And they drove up to a man and he handed the man a bag, and the man said, 'God bless you, little boy.' And Matthew's mother said, Matthew then turned to her and said, 'Mom, I don't want a birthday party this year. I don't want presents.' Instead, Matthew used the resources for the party and the presents to feed those in need. He eventually came to realize that some of those even closest to him in the communities are the one who needed help the most. He perceived something important. He said, 'I think I'm supposed to help these kids that I go to school with.' So he started this project, which emerged into this nonprofit that he calls Matthew's Birthday Wish. And Matthew has helped to provide meals for 25 families every weekend of the school year. And he brings bags of food that he bought to his school, and the counselors help send the supplies home to the children with families that are in need." So, our text asks us, What small thing do we have that we think isn't enough? That we think doesn't matter because the need is just so overwhelming? Remember, God perceives differently. What we have, our voice to speak up, is just what is needed to create a tsunami of help within our midst. We are called to act and to speak out so that our words and our deeds can start an avalanche of care, a change of attitude to see and perceive the crowds as Jesus does, people who are beloved children of God. They're worthy of time, they're worthy of our effort and our care. And as we lift up the bread and the cup and Holy Communion today, let us also lift up our lives, our resources, and place it all in God's hands. No matter how little we think they are, how insignificant we think they may be, God commands us to give. Remember the words Jesus spoke in the passage and engrave it on our hearts that they need not go away. The people in our around us need not go away, but we must give them something to eat. As we listen to Jesus and obey his command, God's compassion and blessing will work through us because we have a God of abundance who sees not problems, but potential. So let us offer who we are, what we have, knowing as we place it in God's hands, there will be enough for all and even more. Amen.